Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So, Father, we invite your intimacy into our lives. We want to know you in deeper and extraordinary ways. We ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit, through your word, in our dreams, and through each other. And that you would awaken the dreams that you put in our heart, and that you would show us how to partner with what you want to do in this season, so that others may come to know you and your presence and your power. So we thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Just take a second and invite the Lord to work in your life. We don't care if it disrupts our plans. We invite you to work in and through our lives. Like the Father saying that many of us are thinking in kind of a maintenance mode, and the Lord doesn't only want to add to what's already happening, but he wants to multiply it, and he wants us to begin to partner with him with our hope and with our faith and our dreams, that he can multiply it far beyond anything that we could even imagine. We thank you, Lord, that you're stretching the way that we think about what you can do through our own lives. That you would expand our vision to move with you. We thank you, Father. We pray that as we move forward in the service, God, that you would continue to speak to us. Your presence would show us revelations of who you are. Just gonna take a second and pray. I know a lot of people have just been having different things come against them. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we declare healing in every body in Jesus' name, that everything would come into balance, that all sickness would go, that all medical mysteries and diagnoses would be gone in Jesus' name. And we also pray for those of us that are seeing resistance to the things that you put in our heart, that that resistance would fall away, that you would move on our behalf, and that we would see your kingdom in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name. That our strength comes from you, that our help comes from you. So we lift our eyes to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, from where our help comes from. We look to you for wisdom, for vision, and for answers, in Jesus' name.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's gonna get me, I'm telling you. I'm gonna end up over there somewhere. All right. What a time of worship. Jeez. I have a little bit of a special connection to that last song that we do. So, thank you, Matt, for listening to the Holy Spirit and messing me up today. I'll muddle through. I'll do my best. All right, it's a little better. So, last week I was wanting to spend a little time with the Lord. He gave me a word. Sometimes he'll give me like, you know, something, a sentence or a certain scripture or something like that. But this time it was just a word. And the word was enthroned. And I looked it up in the Bible, and the Hebrew word is yashab. And it means to properly sit down, specifically as a judge, as an ambush, in quiet. And the implication with it is when he's seated, it's to dwell, to remain, to abide. And even the word to marry comes up. And when I was researching this word, not every version has it as many times. I used the Amplified version, and came up 12 times in the Old Testament. And six of those times, it was all referred to in the same type of a context, where it said that God was enthroned over the cherubim, over the ark, and he was enthroned as Lord over. And I just kind of started pressing in, and you know, like the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim or the angels that are on top of the lid, and in between is the mercy seat. And the way that the mercy seat would work would be when they would have sacrifices, and the people would bring the animals, they would sacrifice the animal, and they would do some kind of gruesome stuff, I guess if you want to call it that, you know, where they'd take organs out and burn them and do different things with them, and then they would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, and that would atone for the sins of the people of Israel. And it, you know, when I see this, it says that God is enthroned above. I see that he's enthroned above the angels. He's enthroned above the mercy and judgment. Inside the ark was the Ten Commandments, so he's Lord over that. And they also had Aaron's staff, it would bud, and it would say, just give symbolism of his divine priesthood, and there was a jar of manna inside. And you know, I just see this as just God just being enthroned as Lord over everything in our lives. And then we fast forward a few years, 2,000 years, to Jesus and his crucifixion. And I started doing some research on how the Romans would actually crucify the people. And it was also very gruesome, where sometimes they would... this is awesome. They would put the spikes either here in the hands or through here, because there's a little bit more to hold them on. And they would almost put like ropes around the armpit area through the cross so they wouldn't fall forward. And then sometimes they would put these little pieces where they put the feet like this. And sometimes they would actually put the feet on the side of the cross, and they would drive spikes in either side. And then I was reading, sometimes they would take this very small peg or a piece of wood and put it down right under their butts. Relieve a little pressure, I suppose. And does anybody want to venture a guess at what they referred to that as? A mercy seat. I kind of see the beating that Jesus took pretty severe, just as severe as what they did to the animals for the sacrifice, but at least they were dead before they were sacrificed. They were disemboweled and all that fun stuff. And then after, you know, Jesus was crucified, and then he gave up his own spirit.
He gave his spirit up. No one took it. And then it says that Joseph from Arimathea came and asked for the body, wrapped it in the burial clothes, placed him in the tomb with Nicodemus. There's an earthquake. Mary Magdalene was there. Jesus' mother Mary was there. They came. Stone was rolled away. They saw the stuff. And everybody left. And then Mary came back. I want to read out of John 20, 11 to 12. And it says, "But Mary, who had returned, was standing outside the tomb sobbing. And so as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at his head, one at his feet, where the body of Jesus lay. Same image of the ark. Two angels. Jesus became the mercy seat. And I believe that when he became the mercy seat, he became enthroned. He became enthroned over the angels. He became enthroned over mercy. He became enthroned over the law. He came and he's Lord over all these things. And he put the judgment in a constant state of mercy. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant, when they would keep it in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. And that's where the presence of God was. And that was the dwelling place. Tabernacle means dwelling. So God would dwell in this place. And I want to read two scriptures. I got a couple of scriptures out of 1 Corinthians and Hebrews. And 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know and understand that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells permanently in you, collectively and individually?" And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own?" Makes us the Holy of Holies, in a sense. Makes us that dwelling place. I want to read Hebrews 10. I believe it's 1 through 10. It says, "For since the law has only a shadow, just a pale representation of the good things to come, not the very image of those things, it can never, by offering the same sacrifices continually year after year, make perfect those who approach its altars. For if it were otherwise, would not these sacrifices have been stopped being offered? For the worshippers, having once for all time been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sin. But as it is, these continual sacrifices bring a fresh reminder of sins to be atoned for year after year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Therefore, when Christ enters into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but instead you have prepared a body for me to offer. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no delight. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the scroll of the book.' After saying in the citation above, 'You have neither desired nor have taken delight in sacrifices or offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will." And so he does away with the first covenant as a means of atoning for sin based on animal sacrifices, so that he may inaugurate and establish the second covenant by means of obedience. And in accordance with this will of God, we who believe, that's us, in the message of salvation have been sanctified, that is set apart as holy for God and his purposes, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, once and for all. That's some good news. That's some good stuff. And then I want to go into Hebrews 10, a little bit later, 19 to 22. It says, therefore, believers, since we have confidence in full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells, by means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he initiated, opened for us through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart and unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Through his death, he has opened the Holy of Holies, given us a place to come into his presence and worship him. And we are the temple, the dwelling place. And Psalm 100 kind of tells us how we enter into this. It says, enter his gates with a song of thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless and praise his name. So now we are this dwelling place. And it comes with that the implication that Jesus is Lord over all things. He is enthroned as Lord over all things. And as I was studying, this question came to mind. It says, for myself, it says, what part or parts of my life am I not enthroning Jesus as Lord over? So I ask that question to you. What things in your life are you not enthroning and giving Jesus lordship over? There's a couple of songs that are out right now, and I'm not usually one, you know, that guy to pick apart some songs, but I'm going to be that guy for a second or two here. And one of the songs, the lyrics is, I want to make room for you, and I want to make space for you. And I get the understanding. I understand what they're talking about and the meaning behind it. But you know, Jesus doesn't want you just to clear out a corner in the middle of your mess and put a cot there for him to come and spend the night whenever you invite him over. That's not the plan. That's not his desire. Jesus' desire is to be Lord over all things in our lives. Not just the things that we pick and choose to give him that lordship over and enthrone him over. And frankly, I think he paid too high of a price to not to be. The good thing is we don't have to be, you know, right with God. We don't have to be in a certain place. You know, I hear a lot of people tell me, you know, I talk to them about church and like, I don't go to church, you know, I got to get right with God before I go to church, or I want to be in a better place before I go. And that's not a good thought process to have, because we don't have to be anything for him to want to move into our lives and want to be part of our lives and want to be present and walking with us hand in hand in what we're doing. You know, God has a plan for each of us. In Jeremiah 29:11, we sang that song, and I think Dave preached a little bit on 29:11 last week, and you know, it says, for I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. You know, when we enthrone him as Lord, his desires become our desires and his plans become our plans. And when we do that, you know, our Jeremiah 29:11, our plans that he has for us becomes more important than our insecurities. It becomes more important than our failures and becomes more important than our sins. And not for us to continue in those things, but to be saved from those things. And in the Greek, the word for that they use for saved means to be pulled out, to be plucked out. of a situation. You know, so Jesus physically pulls us out of the stuff that we're going through. And I know that, you know, I can speak for experience. He's pulled me out of plenty of spaces just to jump right back in. So I thought, you know, how does this look in my own life? You know, I was just thinking about this. It's a pretty deep question. You know, and I just thought about being here. I was away for a few years and got in contact with Pastor Matt, and we sat right outside here for a few hours just talking about things. And you know, I always had a desire in my heart to share my heart in this type of a situation, you know, in front of people. And it wasn't always easy for me to do that. I can remember a lot of times, you know, in school, you know, 5 years ago. It's a joke. Okay. Lighten it up just a little. probably 25. But, you know, when we have, like, you know, oral book reports, like, I would not go to school because I was definitely afraid to speak in front of people. You know, and I would go to little seminars or just little meetings or something where you'd go around the room and introduce yourself, let, you know, tell us something about you, or, you know, why are you here, what do you expect to get out of this, and, you know, and I would get super nervous, and I'm like, well, I know who I am. I know why I'm here. I know where I work. So why am I getting all twisted up because of this? And I just had this fear of speaking in front of people. And it's still not very easy for me to do it. But what I did was I enthroned him. I gave him lordship over that fear and made his plans more important. You know, when we give leeway and stuff like that kind of stuff in our lives, it really distracts us from the truth. You know, so what happens when we give Jesus lordship and enthrone him over our insecurities? You know, our insecurities are rooted in a place of selfishness. Maybe not intentionally, but it comes from a place where, you know, what are people going to think of me? Am I going to screw up? Self-confidence issues, self-awareness issues, self-esteem issues, unworthiness. You know, all that junk just starts to influence our decisions. And when we do that, it discredits our identity. It discredits who we are, who he made us to be, and the purposes for our lives. When we enthrone him as Lord over all the things in our lives, you know, it really creates this sweet relationship between a king and his bride. You know, we start to see ourselves as he sees us. And then we'll see the truth, and that truth will start to influence our decisions. And it keeps us, you know, focused on the Creator and not the world. So what happens when we enthrone Jesus as Lord over our failures? In order to have a failure, you had to have tried something. You're not failing right now, you're not failing in the future. Your failures come from your past. A lot of things we can't let go of some of these things. And sometimes we'll tuck them away and then they'll come up some other time, you know, when we're least expecting it. You know, we can go through life and then all of a sudden just something happens, or you know, you ever just sit there and you smell something and it just reminds you of something that happened like 15 years ago. You know, when we focus on our past, like that's the kind of thing that our past will do to us. We'll just sneak up from out of nowhere. And it just wreaks a lot of havoc, and it can wreak a lot of havoc for years. You know, people go through our past and things that are done to us, and it leads us into addictions and depression and anxiety, and it's just a mess. And sometimes we can let things go, but other people can't. And then whenever you're doing good, they like to throw it in your face. You know, that in itself can really bring identity issues, because then you start to question, what's really going on. 1 Corinthians 3:22 and 23, it says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things are yours, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Saying it doesn't matter who you're following, if you're following Paul, Apollos, or Peter, or you're following the world. It says that life and death, things present, and things to come, all those things are yours. What's missing? Your past. Your past isn't included in the things that belong to you. Your past has been bought and paid for. Jesus paid for your past. The second then he gave up his life on the cross. When Jesus is enthroned over your failures and your past, you don't see the things like they were when they happened. You won't see anything really in the same light. And you can have confidence that you are a new creation. And that he still has a plan for you and it's still working. What happens when we enthrone Jesus over our sins? And when I was writing this, I just had one answer, and it was freedom. And we are imperfect, made perfect, blemished, made spotless, washed white as snow. You know, and it was his intention for this, so we can be more focused on the one whose image we are created in. And the way I see things in life, that we have two things in life. We have all the heavenly things that we want to be focused on, and everything else. All the junk. All the stuff that keeps us from focusing on this. And when we give Jesus lordship over that, he takes all of the junk. He takes all the burdens. He takes all the emotions that are connected with the past and all this stuff. He takes that away, and all that's left is heavenly things. You know, one of the aspects of being a lord or a king is decision making. You know, when we go to him with our sins, not in a sense whether to continue to do them or not, that's just silly, but when we go to him when we're struggling with a sin, we give him the decision making on what we should do to crush that thing where it stands. And just to get that thing completely and totally out of our lives. And when we seek him and his lordship and his decision making, we get his truth for the answer. One thing we need to understand is that that truth is meant to be offensive. You know, everybody with the world wants us to just go with the flow of things, and this is just how it is. But it's meant to be offensive. You know, enthroning Jesus as Lord over these things gives us that boldness, no matter what sins that we're doing, to getting it out of us and seeking him and enthroning him and giving him that lordship, and we'll start to walk in that truth no matter how offensive it is. And Jesus, in Matthew 10:34, it says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword of division between belief and unbelief, between the truth and the world." You know, enthroning Jesus means to walk in truth no matter how hard it is. When Jesus is Lord, there will be decisions that we have to make that might not be exactly what we want to make, but it's what's best to make. You know, and we can give him that honor and that praise by giving him lordship and following these directions. And, you know, it creates a space where we're at any time, whether we're in our cars, in our bathrooms, in our bedrooms, no matter where we are, we can enter into a presence, into a relationship with him and go to him with whatever's going on. We don't have to wait. If we're at work and something happens, we can enter into his presence there. And it will change the world around you. It'll change your circumstances. It'll change the atmosphere of where you are. Sounds easier said than done. We know that. But he made us his dwelling place. We don't have to go far. If we are the temple, we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to pray and expect our prayers to reach heaven when we have the Holy Spirit in us. You know, I believe that there is total freedom when we come to him and just with everything. And it doesn't even matter if it's just the silliest little thing or it's a huge life-changing decision. And even if the answer doesn't make sense, the outcome is going to be awesome. There's another lyric that I actually like. So, and it says, "The one who knows me best is the one who loves me most." His decisions for us are always going to be motivated by love. And to me, that sounds like a better outcome than anything else that I can ever plan for myself. Enthroning Jesus causes us to walk in our created purpose and plans, sometimes without even trying. Just simply saying yes and giving him that lordship over whatever we need to give him lordship over. I'm just going to close with this. Friday night, you guys, it was a good time Friday night. Jake was on point with the things that he was saying, and I always have my front seat here, so I'm next to the sound, so I always get that. But I know that there's some stuff going on. I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable and turn around and look at anybody, because, you know, it makes people a little weird. But I know that there's some really awesome stuff, people getting set free, and his prayers are very powerful. You know, he was really instilling in his prayers the same things. The things that I'm sharing today were just seeking Jesus first and giving him that, the first response on what we're doing. You know, we go to him first and just seeking him and enthroning him and giving him that lordship. And then he brought up James 4:7, and it says, "So submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you." You know, that submitting is really enthroning Jesus as Lord over everything in our lives. And going to him with every thought and every fear and every doubt, every question, every decision we need to make. You know, there's such a freedom that's going to come from that. Because we know what whatever happens, whatever that outcome, whatever that decision is, it's going to be amazing. I think it's a lot easier than what we want to make it out to be. I think we overcomplicate it sometimes. You know, it's just as easy as going home and saying hi to your husband or hi to your wife and having that type of relation, or cats or dogs or whatever you guys got. But having that intimate relationship, it's just that simple. Just to go in, walking in the door, and to sitting down and worship and praise. And that, according to Psalm 100, that's how you enter into his presence, with thanksgiving and praise. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Like to stand, I'll pray over you. Where you don't want to stand, you don't have to. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for having everything all worked out already. I thank you for creating a space for us to come to when we are in so much need, and creating a space to come to when we just want to love you and be loved by you, with no agenda, with no troubles, with no anything. Just creating a space for this relationship rooted in an amazing love. So I just ask that you open our hearts to receive that and just quiet our minds to enter into that space before we get ourselves all worked up over nothing. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. I'm taking a well in the valley of my weeds.